Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
1 Corinthians 11, it says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances, as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaven." It wasn't too long back I went into some revelation on this very subject and chapter. And it's on tape. And I remember how the Lord really ministered. And I was gleaning and reaping understanding from the Spirit of God as it was utilizing me to minister the word. But let's go on. It says, "For if the woman be not covered, let her be shorn. But if she be ashamed for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered." I'm going to give you a little paraphrase of verse 6 right there, and we're going to go on to where we're looking for. But that right there, scripture right there, will fit absolutely perfect with the Bible says, "Whether you be cold nor hot as lukewarm." That's saying the exact same thing right there if you would consider it. Now, I know it says other things in there, but that's exactly what that's saying right there. But let me go on. It says, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, it is comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered. Doth not even nature self teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." Again, comment on verse 16 here for a minute. Many people take that verse 16, totally take everything that was just said right out of there. To the question, verse 14, "Do not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him?" Now, of many thoughts, I had one that'll approach it for a different angle. To just answer it straight out, I could say that I don't have an answer. And possibly many times, as we ponder in the mind of God, he does. Amen. But I can say this, that as a man come to me one time and said something to do with that same passage of scripture, he says, "Well, if it's a shame for a man to have long hair," then he said, "How come Jesus had long hair?" And I told him, because he came in the image of shame. The Bible said the image is sin. And the thing is that in the resurrection, I don't believe he resurrected in that very same image. Now, when you're looking into allegories, everything is allegoric speaking so far in verse 11, even coming up to that point. When it's speaking down through here, talking about the woman and the covering of the woman being her hair, there's teachings that were women, they wore their coverings in their churches, their head coverings and different things. So when it talks about being shorn or shaved and things, the other day when we were teaching some dimensional teaching, I don't know if it was Sunday, I think it may have been, but we was going into some things. You say, well, you pretty much dimensionally teach every service. But I was bringing some things out, if I recall, about the body, soul, and spirit, and was differentiating in some things, speaking of different dimensional projections. And when we look into this, and it says that the power on the head because of the angels, let me read that for I won't misquote. It says, "For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels." Now the thing is when we're starting to talk about the hair being the covering, we're talking about the hair representing the glory of God, and we're speaking about because of the angels. And when we know when we get into the angelic realm or the angel realm, and I know I brought this thing out as the Lord took me there and brought me to that particular area not long back, and he would have to help us again now. When we come to a revelation of understanding it in the spirit, doesn't mean that we do away with it in the first dimension or the second. Because many times in the churches, they'll come to an understanding of a spiritual truth, but they'll take the spiritual truth and they'll discount or do away with it in another dimension. You know, I'll give you that example again. Some people say, well, you know, God is the spirit of holiness, you know, and he's washed me and cleansed me and he's made me holy. He doesn't look on the outward part of man. He only looks upon the heart. Well, if he only looks upon your heart, you're in trouble. But on the other hand, brothers and sisters, the thing is that we have to, by the revealing and the revelation of the Lord, bring those things into a manifestation or into the invisible things into a visible act. That's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when it's something not seen, faith is going to bring that into an evidence, and it becomes to that. So again, if we would go back over the first part of this chapter 11, and we're thinking that it's speaking about woman and the headship being the man, and we start looking into this, we find that when we differentiate it into another dimension, that we find having to do with the bride, having to do with the Christ, having to do with what we would say the church. And we start looking, differentiating between this all the way through. So the thing is if the man, and we look at the woman being under the man. Let's go back and read. We're going to expound on down to that. Maybe the Lord will help us over with verse 14 before we work our way back down there. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Now, why would it dishonor a man, but then it wouldn't be different to a woman? You see? And let me explain that to you. You see, the woman has to have headship, has to have headship. And if the woman comes through outside of headship, then she has climbed up another way. Now, the man, you say, well, what is it to do with the man? Now, if the man was covered, it would show something above Christ. It would show taking something beyond and above Christ, the Lord. And see, he is the covering to man. And we are in him, through him, and it's also the allegory of it as what we're seeing here. When we look at it into an allegoric perspective, we're seeing the Christ. And this is what man represents. It represents the spirit when we look into the man and the woman. Now, Paul used the marriage relationship continually to bring forth revelation about the man and woman marry, they become one. Again, as I brought it out in times past, I say, why didn't it say becomes one in the spirit? Because see, there's a different marriage in that dimension. When the man and woman marry, it's not one in the spirit, it's one in the flesh. You see, so when they become one in the flesh, that means that the woman comes to the mind of the man. And when the woman comes into the mind of the man, they become one in that perspective. But when we look at it in our life, and we say, now we're married unto the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I show you a mystery. When they become one in the flesh, that means that that's the manifestation or the revealing of Christ or the revelation of the Lord, that it does become one in the flesh. And that is the transformation of thought, which will lead to the metamorphosis or the transfiguration to the body, which again goes from natural flesh to spirit flesh. So as again, as we're looking at this and we see it coming down, back to the question, when we think of nature, it says something, or even nature shows. Now, if we go back to Romans and it says that all of the things of the unseen things of the spirit world are revealed by the things which do appear. So when we'd have to start thinking about the man and we start thinking about nature showing this very thing, well, if you go into nature, into the beast realm, and you separate now from human life for a minute and look in the beast realm, which human life is beast, if you get into the dimensions of God and the revelation of the Lord. But if you get into the beast realm, you'll find that the male is always the most beautiful one. Now through lust and perversion, the woman has climbed up another way, and the woman's always wanting to project themselves as the beautiful one. But all in nature, if you go out here, and if you have ever been involved in bird watching, you know it's always easy to tell the male bird versus the female bird. Do you realize that a blue bird, if you go and look at them, how brilliant the blue and the color is of the male bird and the female bird? It's not much color. All of the birds are that way. Any of the red birds are that way? All of them. The male is the most beautiful. But when we're speaking about nature revealing or unveiling or showing something here, you know, there are things in nature. You know, there's another scripture about where it uses, I think that's over in Romans also, where it's talking about when they leave their natural affections. So they're showing the perversion. That is a perversion, naturally speaking. When you look over and you see a man desiring another man, he's lost the natural. See, nature shows better than that. You know, the only thing that you might see in those kind of dimensions or those kind of realms is if when you get into the beast realm or into that kind of dimension, you'll see dogs or something as that. So it's always into the abase or the beastly life or the beastly realm. When we would consider this, and it says that, again, I believe it's in Romans, the first chapter, but it says where it's talking about man leaving his natural things. So see, it's showing that even nature there would teach against it also. I know when you get into all the biblical movies and you get into all that, it always shows Jesus with long hair. Some go back in historians and go to the perspective of Nazarite vow. And it was that they would never cut their hair. I know we go back to Samson, and there was a vow that he couldn't cut his hair. And so we go into all these, but there's very allegoric in that, because it had to do with the glory and the power of God. And the woman having to do with the glory and the power of God. Now the thing is, see, when we were, again, on Sunday's message, we were speaking about dimensional differentiation. And we even went to speaking about the black and the white, how it has to do with allegories of light and darkness. So when we get into an allegory, we're speaking of a woman's hair. Now, does it necessarily mean if a woman cuts off her hair, she's cut off the glory of God? It's an allegory. It shows that in an allegory. Now, many times the Lord will use that. Many times I found that women that were raised around Bethlehem that were trying to live godly lives and overcoming lives, and they were there under subjection through the ministry and things, and many times when they would depart and go back off in the world, one of the first things they would do is bob off their hair. I saw it numerous times. Many times it would be the first things they do. They'd get out in their form-fitting pants, and they would get out there and they'd bob off their hair. So we say, well, you know, they were under the restraints and the restrictions of the church and the brotherhood and the teachings and this and that. No, it's what they was is under subjection by the authority that was ministered there in the anointing of God. There was a man, I'm just speaking to you, man, using you some examples when we talk about some of these. There was a man that was there and he left the church. And he said, man, I feel so free now. I feel so liberated now. He said, you know, man, I was in bondage. I'm just so free. Praise God. Hallelujah. When he left that. But you see, brothers and sisters, demon spirits are subject unto the authority and the power of God and God's men. People filled with the Holy Ghost. And you see, when people come around you and you are filled with the Spirit of God, them devils will fear and tremble in your midst and in your presence, and they're going to feel uncomfortable. And the thing is when they have a fear in the perspective of they, you know, and they're struggling and they try to get into church, they try to stay in, but the Bible said it was made manifest, they was never of you when they depart. And then they get away from them, they just go hog wild, so to speak. That's a pretty good expression for it, isn't it? The old pig returning back, you know, the old sow to the mire, you know. But as this expression of this man says, you know, I feel so free now and everything. But see, that he wasn't under the subjection or the correction, under the reproofs of the ministry. And sure, there will be a freedom of such a thing. You take a man and loose him from jail. He's going to tell us, man, I feel so free now. You see, brothers and sisters, we're not in bondage. We're not in bondage to these things. But then yet, on the other hand, we submit ourselves to these things, to the things of God. Again, if we use the basis of even Sunday's message, and I know to the question that was asked, it makes it a little bit difficult. Brother Jonathan was down in Georgia at the services there this weekend. But again, we took and went into some allegories. Some dimensional differentiation that is so misunderstood in the way people perceive races, names, types, shadows, allegories, cars, the titles, the types, and all these things. And so many times people will have a very keen mind to differentiate those dimensional projections. But again, in many times, as I say, a woman could have her hair cut off and be filled with the Holy Ghost and have the glory of God in her life. And she doesn't have a knowledge of that. There's times that men, brothers and sisters, don't have the revelation of the things what they're allegoric of. Now again to the scripture where it says that even nature shows that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Now the thing is that when we would consider again such a scripture as that, then it's talking about looking into nature to understand something of the spirit. Now the prior scripture to that is speaking about it's, you know, a woman would be, she has to pray with a covering. But the man, it's a shame for him to pray with a covering. But if you go into nature and you look, and which one of the man or the woman as that hair comes off, and if it had to do with the glory of God, then look at what man would represent, like Brother Wayne right here, or Brother Randall, or even myself a little bit. You see, it would be a bad allegory to the thing, and you think that even nature itself, and very seldom you see a woman losing her hair. When you think about it, I know there's women that have problems with things of losing their hair, but it's usually in the masculine side, and you'll see men's hairline receding, and see even nature itself would even show that very thing. So that's one thought of it to show how God reveals himself when showing. And even though as we back up to the other scriptures about prophesying with your head uncovered. Now when you go to the Jew, why does the Jewish people, when we went into the temples, went into the churches, they made us have a covering upon our head? Because they show the reverse side. It shows the feminine side. It's a revelation in it because they show the first dimension. They show that natural realm, and it would show that side over there. So if we would look at this, so we find a woman without a covering that's shorn, then the thing is it shows no covering of the head. As it said, for the angel's sake, has to do with spirits. Let me go on here just a minute. It says, but if, verse 15, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Now that right there tells us a whole lot about what happened in the first 15 verses of this thing. And then we go on to read verse 16, but if any man seem to be contentious, is that Christianity? Think about it, is contention Christianity? No, it's not. Okay, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now, I'm going to unveil that scripture to you right there. People will use that scripture to vindicate a woman chopping her hair off. They'll vindicate it right there. They'll say that. They say, we have no such custom. Now, the thing is when you're talking of contention, you're talking about somebody that's an unbeliever. If I'm dealing with an unbeliever and they come into the things about a woman wearing long hair, if they come into talking about dresses and holiness and things like that, I'm not going to chide with them. I have no such custom. You know, the thing is, hey, I do this as unto the Lord. The things that I do is I do it unto the Lord. I'm not going to make it into the letter of the law for you, this and that. We do these things as unto the Lord, but we still got to take the scriptures and find what the revelation of them are and what the allegories are and why they took time to say all these things. Why would he express the mind of God for those 15 verses and then all of a sudden make one little statement in the 16th verse that makes us throw all the first 15 away? Does that make any kind of a sense whatsoever at all? Why would we lay a whole platform down and then turn around and say, oh, we don't believe that anyway. We don't have any such a custom to do such a thing as that. Brothers and sisters, again, it's when you're dealing with contentious people. The Bible said to stay away from vain controversies. We're supposed to stay away from these questions that bring forth controversies and render strife, the Bible says. I don't like to strive with people out there. I'm not going to chide with them about these things. These things are spiritually discerned and they come by the mind of the Lord. Amen. So now the thing is that when we think that the Bible says that God would give his glory to no other, but then yet we've received the glory of God and we are the glory of the Lord. We are the revelation and the manifestation of God. So we're not another. We are the bride of Christ. We've become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and we receive that glory. Now the thing is I could speak to you as unto spirituals and say, brethren, you know, I've been crucified with Christ, just as Paul said. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Faith being the substance, hope for the evidence, things not seen. But we bring it into a manifestation. The world will see that because the world yearning and longing and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. But the thing is I could speak to you as unto spirituals and tell you that Rob Coons no longer lives and now it's Christ. And they say, what are you saying? You know, that's blaspheming, brother. Man, that's this and that. Well, see, you just switched dimensions. I didn't say that as a man. You see, you just went into another total dimension, and you are sitting there judging me as a man, thinking that I'm standing here saying that I'm God. But see, isn't that what the Son of Man said to them? He said, what good works have I done that you want to stone me? And they said, because you're mere man making yourself to be God. But you see, they didn't understand, brothers and sisters, that the mere man went to the cross and was smitten on the cross of Calvary. And it was the man part that was killed. It wasn't the God. The God could not die because it's the Prince of Life. It's eternal. And this old guy here, it's like the woman said, I've got a rude awakening coming someday. You know, it's not going to be a rude awakening if they throw this old body in a box. That's not a rude awakening. Brothers and sisters, this body's already numbered with death. When I took my first breath. You know, you understand that's what the Word of God teaches. So I'm not speaking to you as a man. I'm commanded to speak to you as one as unto spiritual. I'm supposed to speak to you by the Spirit, in the Spirit. Now, if I want to speak to you as a man, I could say, oh, wretched man that I am. Paul did say that, didn't he? Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? But if I spoke as a man every church service, how can I encourage you in the Spirit? How can I speak to you into spiritual things and have spiritual songs or hymns and spiritual exhortations in my life if that's what I'm doing? So the thing is if you come to church and I speak to you as a man, that's carnal. Now, if I really differentiate there, that's the woman preacher. That's what I would be. You know, when the woman's supposed to be silent in the church. So you think, well, I could see that dimension. You know, if the woman's supposed to be silent in the church. Now, the thing is, if I come in here and speak to you as a man, that's the woman speaking. And I'm masculine. You see, because that shows the flesh when you're in the Spirit, differentiating those things. That's the only way we'll understand the 11th chapter there, is we got to differentiate what is the power on the head. And we'll get into that first dimension, and the woman, that thing shows that. And that's why a woman wouldn't want to cut her hair off, because it shows that she's cutting the glory of the Lord off. And many times it shows that they've gone back to the former things of the world, or back to the love of the world, or the things of this world. And many times they'll chop that hair off, and it's just an allegory to show where they're at. So oftentimes, brothers and sisters, there's things that will show up in a man's life or in a woman's life to represent what is taking place in their spirit. So oftentimes, you see, the spirit things aren't hidden. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If there's things in a man's heart, it's going to come forth out of him, and it's going to be spoken forth. So they'll be seen or revealed. And the thing is if you've got the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, the power of God dwelling in you, it's going to come forth. There's going to be things coming out of you, rivers of living water flowing from your innermost being. There's going to be love. There's going to be all of the fruits of the Spirit. There's going to be joy. There's going to be patience and gentleness and meekness, humility. All of these things are going to flow forth out of that, because that is the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of Christ within you. So when we look into these scriptures and we find again things spoken forth in an allegoric way, and then if we take and make it into a law, and this is again what's spoken forth in verse 16, I'm not going to make it into a law. You see, I'm not going to tell a woman that it's a law that she wears a long dress, and if she don't wear a long dress, she's going to hell. Now, you say, well, Brother Pike did say those things. Brother Pike was ministering to spirits, and when he would have a rebellious spirit in his presence that was rebelling, say, I don't believe that, this and that, he'd tell a woman that's saying, I don't have to do that, and bless God, I'm going to wear my pants, and I'm going to do this. And he would come off like that, because it was the rebellious spirit that would put her in hell, not the fact that she was going to wear pants. There is not going to be one woman in hell because she wears pants, thus saith the Lord. I'll tell you that. It's because she has not God's Spirit. Now, the reason that she bucked up against it was because she didn't have the Spirit of truth or the Spirit of God. That has to be also very much understood. There are women out there that have God's Spirit that wear pants, but they've never been taught the mysteries of God or godliness or holiness, and it's not being taught out there. They're not teaching these things, brothers and sisters, in the churches and in the church world. It's just, you know, hey, praise God, Jesus is love. He loved us and he died for us. You know, say this prayer and everything's okay. But it's not exactly that way. You know, there's a travail to bring forth a child. And this is part of it that we're speaking about here. So now if we speak on about some of these thoughts. Now if the man represents the covering, in what dimension is that in? And then if Christ is the covering of that man, what dimension is that in? And then here's what happens now. And this is where people don't know how to differentiate. You'll take and you say, okay, now wait a minute. Brother Rob's married to Sister Irene. That's in the first dimension or natural, and that's his wife. Okay, then we say, now in the second dimension, we would say that in the physical realm, Brother Rob says that in that has to do with the soul realm, and says that that's the bride realm, okay? Again, where we get into revelational teaching, and there's a lot of people that aren't in agreement with me when I make this statement right here, but they put the bride in the third heaven. We have a problem when we do that. It's not an uncommon teaching. The Bible talks about the New Jerusalem descending out of the heaven, and it said, is adorned as a bride. And he said, look, the bride cometh. Now, the thing is that there is a speaking there in the book of Revelations. There's a changeover that's taking place right there. Now, the thing is, when that thing goes back into a completion or a oneness, Brother Pike used to say, he said, it's like a telescope. And he said, when it's closed up, it goes out 1, 2, 3 to see afar off. And then it comes back together into a oneness. It has to do with body, soul, spirit. And when it reaches out, it comes back into a oneness. I've used the earth as an allegory to what I'm speaking about here. The earth right now, you know, it was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, but the Spirit of God moved over the earth and started speaking into an existence. It didn't create this earth 6,000 years ago. This earth was without form and void. And then he started creating the thing. See, this body wasn't born in 1958. You could say, well, that's when you was birthed and came in, but I was leaping for joy before the world ever was, and my name was put in the book of life. So there's many things that when you start looking and differentiating by the spirit and by the natural and this and that, but let's go back to the thoughts of the woman. So when we get into the thoughts of the woman, if my wife is in the first dimension, natural, my wife, then the thing is in the second dimension, physical realm, you say, well, you're a man. Well, you see, brothers and sisters, physical, when you look at me or this and that, there's a change over in the transformation realm. There's something happening in the second heaven. There's something happening in that dimension because there's light and darkness in that dimension. Now, remember I brought that out the other day? I said, you know, the Bible said that you cannot have sweet water and bitter water in the same well. Well, that's talking about in the spirit. You cannot contaminate that spiritual realm. It's pure, clean. There's no sadness, no sorrow, no sickness, no shame. There's nothing there. It's perfect. It's pure. Amen. You won't touch that. That's worth speaking that. It's light. You cannot take darkness into light. It's impossible. You cannot, but you take the light to where the darkness is and the darkness flees. Now what happens is in the second realm, the second heaven, you're taking the things of darkness and you're transforming it. You're crossing it over and you're taking it into light. Well, what happens when you start taking something out of that or you bringing the light to that? That's actually what you got to do. It eradicates the darkness. So this is what's taking place in the transformation realm. When the sun starts to set, you're going into the twilight. You see, when you think of the midnight cry, that was a total darkness. It's the darkest time at the midnight cry. And then it comes around to the dawning of the day. You see, and then you come around to the brightness of the day is at noon. And that's when the pyramid has no shadows whatsoever on it. If you would look at a pyramid the way it is, it has to do with the New Jerusalem. And it's a city built four square and it has to do with the light. There's no shadows there. There's nothing there. It's pure light all the time. So when we start looking into this, and we say the bride, we know that the Bible says there's no male nor female in the third heaven. Now, the thing is that some told me the other day, was talking to me, and the Mormon church has been teaching this, that, you know, if you go to Salt Lake City and get married in a tabernacle or there's one in Jerusalem, you get married in there, your marriage is eternal. Well, see, that violates the scriptures. If they're not given to marriage there, and it isn't no male nor female there, it's different than that. So we know that that doesn't work or doesn't fit. So this is why we have to understand something. So if we go into the physical realm, we have the inner quickening Christ. That has to do with the masculine. Then when we say, now if you go into the first covenant, it was a Shekinah glory that was upon Adam. It was an outward thing. It was a Shekinah glory. Now, the thing is when you get into the second, it's a quickening spirit. The first man, Adam, was a living soul. Soul has to do with illumination. But the second man, Adam, was a quickening spirit. It has to do totally differently. It's the rivers of living water. It is the kingdom of God being inward. So we're differentiating and speaking to keep our dimensional projections in order. Some of the things that I could say here can be reversed when you're standing and looking at it. There is a dimension of the Father being spirit. In most cases, it always runs that way. The Father being spirit, no man has seen. And then when you reverse it for an allegorically perspective, you see the Father moving in the Old Testament, because you would say, chronologically speaking, chronologically has to do with an order, you would say that Jesus was not yet born. But when you get into the spirit, you know that that's not true, because it said all things were created by him, and in him and through him, and all things were created, all things visible, all things invisible, everything good and evil was created by him. So we know Jesus was there before the beginning ever was, because he was crucified before the world ever was. So again, it depends where you're looking and what you're projecting from and how you understand. And this is where man gets into problems, because man is carnal. Carnal mind is enmity with God, and man rationalizes everything out in his mind and his thoughts through his ideology. And it's his ideas, and he'll make it into doctrine, and he'll make it into religion and all kinds of things of such. Speaking about the woman here, if we go into the second realm and we find that there must be a covering. He said that the Christ being the covering of the man, and then we go in and we would look at the woman, the hair being the covering, and her husband having the covering of God. If you would go back all the way over to the book of Genesis, and it talks about the woman being in a transgression and being at that time being made lesser, a little lesser than the man, and having to be under subjection to the man. This is what our Bible teaches us. We see because of the woman yielding herself over to the beast. And he said, hey, man, you know, this, if you would eat of this, man, you'll become as God. That was the truth. That wasn't the lie. You know, we do know that when we go over to Genesis, the third chapter, we say there's the lie, you know, and there was a lie there. The lie was, is that you surely will not die. That was the lie. But the thing is to become of God, because they come to a knowledge of knowing good and evil. Do you remember when the Lord come walking to God? Who told you that you was naked? You see, they came to a knowledge. I'm going to stop at that, and hopefully the Lord will bring us back that to bring forth a thought. Many times, brothers and sisters, people are in religious realms and they just feel like, you know, man, praise God, hallelujah, everything's fine. Man, God is so awesome. He's so good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Man, thank you for saving me. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hallelujah. But when you come to the revelation, brothers and sisters, and really get into the revelation of the Lord, a little bit of that leaves. Now, the difference is when you come to get born again, you're like a little child. You know, dad, they're living at home with mom and dad. You know, man, praise God, life is so great. I can't wait to get up in the morning, man. I'm going to go ride my go-kart, and I'm going to ride my mini bike. I'm going to go horseback riding, man. I'm going to swim. Man, this life is great. And here's dad over here, and he's thinking, man, you know, the bill collectors are pounding my doors down. And he said, man, I got to go to work. I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. And he's under a travail. But they're both men, aren't they? One's just a man child or a young child, and the other one is the man. The difference is responsibility. The difference is one taking on responsibility. Now, when you come to the revelation of the Lord and come to the teaching, you start understanding the complications, the perplexities. You start coming to understand the seriousness of your Christian walk and your life. And you start coming to understanding when the scriptures are saying that, you know, if you see evil coming to a city and you don't cry out against it, the blood be on your hands. And you start seeing the complications of people losing their soul and start getting under the burden with Christ and feeling the weight of the world and start feeling the responsibility of souls. And then all of a sudden, you know, just this lascivious, lukewarm, Laodicean day, you know, oh, just hallelujah, praise God. Now, I rejoice in the Lord. I'm not going to sit here and say that being born again is doom and gloom and your head hanging down and oh, poor me. I don't feel that way. But I know the responsibilities of my Christianity. Not just because I'm called to preach the gospel, not just because I'm a minister. I'm talking about when I was a lay person working in churches, I felt the responsibility of soul winning. Either win souls or wise. And I've got under the burden. When I was sitting under Brother Pike, I got under the burden with him in the ministry. If it was helping in the printing, or if it was going out on the church jobs, or if it was working around the church or taking care of those, I got under the burden. You understand? Of what it was to be in a soul-winning institution or in a place to launch world evangelism. You see, and this is a responsibility that when we mature in the things of God. You know, the Bible commands us to press our way in, to go to perfection. You know, some 30, some 60, some 100. So we're talking about growing up in the things of God. Now, backing up to Genesis where we were speaking there. So this woman took and partook of this thing, and they started coming to what? They started understanding good and evil. They partook of a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now God knows all things. It was a tree of knowledge that they partook of knowledge of good and evil. Now the thing is God knowing good and evil. So they become more like a God because they know good and evil. And sometimes when we come into Christianity, you know, we just hear, you know, man, God's good, God's love, praise God. You know, man, he saves the wretched, he saves the sinner. This is all true. You know, he washes you in his blood, praise God, he's an awesome God. He brings the drunkards, the harlots, the sodomites, you know, he brings them all in. You know, praise God, he's an awesome God. You know, man, he's God of love. But then yet, this is a message of God. This draws and brings people in. But you see, that message is to them. That message is the love of God to them, that they could say that, you know, there's a door open in heaven for me. And this God is with his arms wide open. But what happens when they come in? You know, if you want me to give you an allegory of what I'm saying here, go talk to a military recruiting officer. I'm telling you the truth. Some of you could say that in marriage. Man, this girl was so loving. Man, she just like, oh, I love you, honey, and everything. Boy, but the day they said I do, man, she changed. Some of you can't see the humor in that one, huh? A recruiting officer. You go in there as a young man. Oh, man, let me tell you, man, education, man, you got to get to go over here and see the world. Man, I'll tell you what, you know, I just got a call from a buddy of mine. He just was over there in Hawaii. And, man, I got another one. He's up here, and they just paint you such a pretty picture. And then all of a sudden, man, you sign that paper. It's not the same way, man. That old recruiting officer, when you got that drill sergeant in your face screaming at you, and he's hollering at you and telling you to shut your mouth and get down and give him 50 push, you know, and you're thinking, man, where's that Hawaii paradise at? It's a little bit different. We got to keep a balance of thought here. My salvation is joy unspeakable and full of glory. I walk in the presence of the living God. I fellowship with Him. And if I find myself in the valley of the shadow of death, He's there with me. Amen. As we were singing tonight, He abides with me. It doesn't matter the travails, the struggles of life, the perplexities, the complications. It doesn't matter what the devil's throwing at me. It don't matter who's coming against me. God is there. And I learned to know Him and love Him even that much more because He'd never left me nor forsook me at any given time. Never has done that. So the thing is this is the God that we're serving. But now we're talking about the responsibilities as a soldier in Christ. The responsibilities that come to each and every one of us and the burdens that we take on to help win souls. You see, so we have to look at things in a balance and with an understanding. I know the question that came forward tonight, speaking about nature showing these things, but we're speaking still right down the lines of this very thing because of the responsibilities that we have, brothers and sisters, in soul winning would be one thing. And also, as the Lord was bringing us around, the speaking of the woman, going all the way back to the garden. And this has to do with it also, because right here we're speaking about the woman, and we're speaking about the covering. And if we would differentiate it, we're going to find the difference in the covering. If a woman's hairs are covering, what dimension is that in? And how does that have to do with the power of the angels? Now, if you would go back over again to Samson and you found out that what his hair had to do with was the glory or the power of God. And when they cut it off, he lost that power. All the way to the garden, we found that Eve, in the transgression, in the fall, and she found that she submitted to life. We found a curse that came and said that she would be subject unto the man. And that is why, brothers and sisters, right there, we don't teach and believe in women pastors. That's the reason right there. Because of what took place in the garden, the woman's made a little weaker. And that means that the seducing spirits, and if you don't believe that was a seducing spirit that took place there, he was the father of all seducing spirits that took place there. Now, a carnal-minded man is in the same dimension. I'm going to put the carnal-minded man in the same dimension as a natural woman. You understand what I'm saying? If this offends you, you just don't know how to differentiate God's mind and the power of God or the things of God. It shouldn't be offensive to you because I apply these to my own life. I told you that if I get in here in the mind of carnal mind and the natural mind, that's the woman that's supposed to be silent in the church. You see, if I'm teaching out of intellect, if I'm teaching out of Bible study, I'm teaching out of theology. You know, the Bible said don't even meditate on the things. On those things that you go and depend on the Lord to speak. This doesn't mean that we're not supposed to read the Bible. We should continually be in the Word of God, studying to show ourselves approved, the workman who need not be ashamed. But I mean, to get some kind of an outline and all those things, many times we'll cut God off. It's like because we cut Him out. Not saying in all cases, but in many cases, it does that. But when we do this many times, it's the woman that would be speaking. It's the woman that's going to be talking, even though it's the masculine. Now, if I'm standing here now and I say, hey, brothers and sisters, I'm the bride of Christ. I've been married unto Christ. I went into the secret chambers of the Most High God. I went in before Him and I conceived the seed. As the Bible said, it's the seed that remaineth in you. It's the seed that keepeth you from sin. So the thing is where did that seed come from? And where did it pass from? So the thing is this is a relationship that has got to take place and got to happen. And the only thing that could happen in is in the bride perspective. So we've entered in with the Christ in the masculine perspective. Now then, what is the product of it? It's the man child that was caught up to the throne. When the red dragon was there to devour the child, it said very clearly that it was a man child. And when the man child is caught up to the throne, it goes into a masculine, it goes into an authority and into a power. But then the Bible said that there's no male nor female. And what it's doing there, brothers and sisters, it's cutting off that bloodline and it's cutting off that reproduction of the blood seed and the bloodline. And this is why when I was speaking to you about some of this teaching that wasn't going around here not too long about where Jesus supposedly had children through Mary Magdalene, and I said it doesn't fit in Revelation because everything He came to do was cut off man. And He took man, the Son of Man, to the cross of Calvary and took all of the handwritings of ordinances and offense unto Himself and all of the iniquities of you and I and all of humanity and mankind. He took and received the curse of all that and it was cast into hell. That's what the Bible said. He said, I suffered not the Holy One to see corruption. And that body was redeemed out of hell. And when it come forth into resurrection, it wasn't in the same image as what it went into hell in. It was not. It wasn't in the same, because the very ones that walked with him did not recognize him. And they were walking with him. He's speaking, their hearts burned within them. So he did not come back in the image of sin. He did not come back in the image of shame. He did not come back with his long hair. He came back, brothers and sisters, in a glorified body. It was different. But then yet you say he showed the nail prints in his hand. He said, here, thrust that in the side, because he was witnessing the marks that was in his body of the crucifixion of what took place. When you go through the metamorphosis, like, there's a true resurrection and it is a change, though. The resurrected body is not the same body, but then yet it's a body that has been transfigured. It's not the same. It's a transfigured body, but it took the old and made it new. That had to die before it become new. Again, I could turn you over to the 15th chapter of the same book right here in 1 Corinthians and read about it. It talks about it very clearly there, and it shows that transfiguration of that body. So we're speaking about many things here to understand the covering. Now, the thing is that if the woman is under subjection unto the man, there is, I'm going to say this, and I say this and it draws people up, I'm sorry, but there is impossible for a woman to get into eternal life with Jesus Christ in heaven without subjecting and submitting herself to a man. Absolutely, thus saith the Lord, I stake my soul, and God would cast me into eternal damnation, because I could prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, a woman cannot, absolutely cannot, is it impossible for a woman to get into eternal life and be born again unless she's subjected unto a man, thus saith the Lord. That would cause a lot of problems right there. You say, Brother Rob, when you prophesy like that, do you feel or sense the fear of God? Amen. I sense the reverence and the fear of the Most High Living God, because if you prophesy and it isn't true, brothers and sisters, I would be in severe trouble. The thing is that God used a man named Jesus Christ, and he is the door, he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, and no man come unto him, unto the Father, except by him, and he is the door into heaven. And when a woman cannot submit to a man on this earth, the Bible says this. It says, how could you submit to a God that you have not seen if you cannot submit to a man that you can see? And when a woman won't subject herself or submit herself to her husband, it's just a revelation that God is showing her and him and all that observe that the woman does not have the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because the Bible says we submit one to another. Now, me speaking as a man, you could get puffed up in your flesh mind and think, well, bless God, you know, God made me a man, I don't have to do that. But I'm the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've got to submit to him. It is no longer Brother Rob's life. It is no longer Brother Rob's desires or Brother Rob's world. Brother Rob don't go where he wants to go or do what he wants to do. I've married unto Christ. I am his servant, and I say, here I am, Lord and Master. I am here at your service. And you say, well, is that what a woman's supposed to do with her husband? Is that exactly what she's supposed to do? And I say, now you're coming to some revelation and some understanding. And you say, well, my husband is wretched and no good, and that's why I can't do that. It gives me a way to bypass that kind of thought. You see, it doesn't do that. The Bible said that the woman will win her husband with her chaste conversations. Amen. And that is projecting godliness and holiness. And if a man is wretched and evil and abusive to a woman, and she subjects herself unto Christ and says, Lord, I take this as unto the Lord, and I receive the stripes as unto the Lord, then God steps in. Woman can't change a man, but God will step in and rend that man into pieces. Amen. And a woman has got to learn to hold her course. Now, when we're differentiating in dimensional projections, the thing is it's the same way. The thing is, I submit one to another. When I submit my life to you and you submit your life to me and you abuse me and speak all matter of evil against me, I submit to that and I say, Lord, this isn't my fight. I do this as unto the Lord. Lord God, I'm your servant and here I am. Amen. It seems like you might even think that we're off the beaten course, so to speak, of the things we're talking about. But we're talking about the covering, brothers and sisters. And we're talking about nature even showing these things. And when you find in nature, that a woman is not subjected to her husband, you find all kind of disorder in a home and in a household It's going to be there. There's going to be unrest. There's going to be all kinds of complications and problems. When we get into the spirit, I'm going to give you an example of this. When a man becomes religious in his mind, well, bless God, I know the scriptures, and I know the Bible says this is what I'm supposed to do. You see, it doesn't work that way. Just because the Bible says something doesn't mean that we do that. You see, we're not led by the Bible, brothers and sisters, and I'm not commanded to be led by the Bible. I'm commanded to be led by the Spirit. Now, the Bible says that His word is spirit and His word is truth, but it's the letter of the law that killeth. And this is why many people are in trouble, because they read this word and they didn't hear the word, the spirit of the word. You see, the spirit of the word will absolutely speak contrary. Now listen to me and hear the end of the matter. The Bible said a wise man hear the end of the matter. We don't speak contrary to the written word. And you say, well, I don't believe that, Brother Rob. Well, then you're just an unbeliever. It would be pretty much that simple. Because let me tell you, I've already opened up this Bible and showed you where this Bible would be contrary to the intellectual mind. Because the Bible says the things of man are contrary to the things of God. And God's ways are not man's ways. So the thing is man has an idea how he should gain and what he should do. But God has a different idea. Man, he says, save, save, save. And God says, hey, give, give, give. Man says, hey, if I want to save my life, I better save it. God said, no, if you want to save your life, you need to give your life. If you have lack of anything, God says to give that you're in need of away. See, that's not man's ways. So I'm just now bringing you examples in the scriptures, the Spirit of God. It's spoken and addressed in the Bible, yes. And it's written that way. But I'm expressing to you that it's contrary one to another. 1 John 3 is contrary to 1 John 1. 1 John 1 says, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar and deceive yourself. 1 John 3 says, if you are born of God, you cannot sin. So the thing is, you say, well, that's different, cannot sin and saying you have no sin. No, there is no difference. The difference is one speaking to the spirit and the other one speaking to the natural. If I say I have not ever sinned, brothers and sisters, I'm a liar and deceived. I was born as a sinner with the sins of death. But I'm not going to stand here and tell you I sin every day. Then I'm telling you I'm of the devil every day. I can't do that. So there's a differentiation, one between man and one between God, the Son of Man, Son of God. Jesus made himself twain, both Lord and Christ, both Son of Man, both Son of God. So the Pharisees come along and say, well, you know, we're not wanting to stone you because of the good works or the good deeds that you do, because you're mere man making yourself to be God. So see, now there's the differentiation line. Now we're stepping back to the second heaven, the soul realm. So we say, again, in the spirit, you can't contaminate the spirit, it's pure. But when you get into the soul realm, the transformation realm, you've got light and darkness there. You got sweet and bitter there in that realm. You understand that? See, Peter recognized that. When he said, man, thou art the Christ. And he said, well, that wasn't revealed to you by man, but this was revealed to you by the Spirit. This was revealed to you by the Father. It was revealed to you by God. And he said, man, we're not going to let no harm come to you. The Lord Jesus said, get you behind me, Satan. See, he was just partaking of both worlds. He was thinking the way you would think. Jesus, I love you. I know who you are. And you're telling me these people are going to come kill you. Man, I'll fight for you. And he said, the weapons of my warfare are not carnal. My kingdom's not of this world. You know, my kingdom is without observation. It's something different. If it's without observation, in other words, you're not going to see this kingdom with your natural eyes, that you're going to have to be caught away into the spirit, then you'll understand where my kingdom's at. This is why we're not trying to create this world as the kingdom. This is why we're not seeking after political powers or politics, governors or mayors or presidential candidates and things, because this isn't our world. We don't have no business in the affairs of that. Oh, yes, we could pray that God would have his way in it. We could pray that God-fearing people would be in there, but I'm telling you, people that are sold out and full of the Holy Ghost ain't running in political offices. So you mean you're putting all politicians in hell? No, that isn't what I said. But I'm talking about someone that's sold out with God. They're not out there in those things. Now, there are people that love God and would confess Christianity, but you're going to find weakness in their life. I'm ashamed that you would be very disappointed with our president whenever the Christian community think, oh, we finally got this man. And I praise God, at least he has the boldness to confess Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Jimmy Carter done the same thing, was probably one of the worst presidents America's ever had. You know, and that might offend you a little bit, but I'm just saying he didn't do anything. You know, but oh man, he was the one, you know, the big born again move came out of his office. Praise God. But I'm talking about politically speaking, he didn't do anything as a president. He was a giveaway, gave the Panama Canal away. What a strategic stronghold over there we had. What happens if we got in war and we can't control that now? So I'm just talking, see, we got rent dimensions and find out natural and spiritual things and thought. So when we think of the soul realm, what realm did Jesus come in? You say he was spirit. Well, no, the Father was spirit. Well, him and the Father are one. Well, I understand that. I do know that. But what realm did he come in when Philip asked, when will we see the Father? How can you say you not have seen the Father when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. Okay, but there's a differentiation there. Now, if Jesus was both Lord and Christ, both Son of Man and Son of God, we saw one with eyes of observation. But he spoke as two. Now, I speak as two. I say, hey, man, you know, Rob Coons is a wretched, no good man. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of guests? Thank God for Jesus. But then, yet, when I speak by the Spirit, I speak by the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost. I speak with an assurity of the things of God, not of man. So I rend the dimensions and differentiate it. So when I say, what realm did Jesus come in? He came in the soul realm. You see, Jesus came and pointed everything back to the Father. The Father's light, the Father's spirit. He pointed everything back. He didn't bring the glory to himself. He veiled everything. Even when he would heal, he said, don't go tell no man. But then yet there would be some that would come before him and he would unveil who he was. I'm who exactly that you say that I am. Or he would unveil it. So what was taking place there? There was a dimensional differentiation of a transformation, and the body had to go into hell and it come forth, being purged in the fire and come forth pure from the fire. Now, John the Baptist said, there's one that will come that I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That fire is the purging fire. Jesus went into hell. You will find yourself being cast into a hell right here, and you'll be purged as of by fire. I know you don't want to hear this. You say, come on, preacher. Tell me, you know, prophesy to me smooth things. Isn't that what the Bible says? Prophesy unto me smooth things. You know, like, oh man, God's just going to bless you. This is the blessings of God, brothers and sisters. You know, no matter how much you despise the thoughts of our God and our Savior going onto a cross and being beaten and whipped and a bloodbath, that's where we can have life. That's where our eternal life came from. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, the purging and the chastening of God is what purges the dross, purges the iniquities out of our life. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. I know for sure that the Bible says that Jesus, when he went to the cross of Calvary, was for our iniquity. So how could we have iniquity then in our life that would have to be purged out now? You think you got me, huh? But let me tell you something. The Bible says that there is a sin that's unto death, and not even to pray for that. And then there's another sin, speaking of iniquity. Now, the thing is, brothers and sisters, there is a sin that a man could commit on this side that he will pay the price. The purging will be on this side, or it will be on the other side, and he'll pay it with the punishment of hell. Jesus Christ's blood was shed and it took away the iniquity of the fallen man, Adam, because the Bible said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that means that you were a sinner before the foundation of the world, if you would go to understanding that. When you was a baby and a child and took your first breath, you were a sinner. And he said he saved you when you were still yet in your sin. So the iniquity that he took away, brothers and sisters, was the Adamic nature of the fallen man. He took that away and he took the curse of that to bring you into life. Now it's not the saving of the body, if you'll read your scriptures, it's the saving of the soul. So we're speaking in a second dimension now, and that's the way I'm speaking to you. Now the thing is that when we go to finding about the purging and the fire of God, if the blood of Jesus could be trampled under feet in this present day and hour, are you going to tell me it's still wet from when it blood dripped out of his veins at Calvary? No. You see, we're in another dimension. And when we trample the blood of the Lord Jesus, or he's being crucified afresh today, it's in another total thought. His kingdom's without observation. You say, I'm in heaven. The Bible says we're in heavenly places. When we pray and together, we come together in his name, he's in the midst of us. Well, did he descend from heaven, or did we get caught away to heaven? Which one is it? And when he commanded us to condescend to men of a less estate, or which he did, then which way are we going? And who has the power to go to and fro the earth? And we think of Satan. So see, when we start differentiating, brothers and sisters, we get into that second realm. And when we get into the second realm, we have the sons of God and we've got the sons of man. We got the devil was there also. When the sons of God came to present themselves, the devil is there also. Is the devil in the third heaven? If he is, then the Bible's not true. We know that he was cast out. Where was he cast out to? You say, in the earth. Okay? Then the Bible says that the prince and the power of the air, and that he is the prince and the power of the air, and this world is his. But then yet it's going to be taken away from him. We know that this natural world tilted on its axis will snap upright, and Jesus Christ will set up rule here for a 1,000-year reign. But that's to the Jew. That has nothing to do with you. But when we get into the second heaven, the physical realm, the physical earth, we say, let the kingdoms of this world, physical earth, become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ, that he could reign forevermore. So we bring him into reign and into power in this earthly man. We're differentiating. That's the only way you're going to understand God. Otherwise, you're going to walk in confusion. Otherwise, you're going to be tossed around by every wind of doctrine. You're not where to stand on, not to know what's right, who to believe, and this and that. You got to get in the Word. I'm going to tell you this. The things that I'm speaking about are not complicated when you're in the Spirit, in the mind of God. But they're complicated to the unlearned because they haven't applied themselves in the spiritual dimension. Now, this is coming caught away. The Bible said these things are only spiritually discerned. Until we get into the discernment of the Spirit, and when it's unveiled to you, and I could ask any of you that's sitting here tonight, when something is finally, your eyes are open to it and it's unveiled to you, you might have struggled with it, but when your eyes are open to it and it's unveiled to you, you go, God, that was easy. It's not complicated. There was a day that understanding the Godhead was something complicated to me. It's like, well, you know, man, God's three and three persons. And, you know, it's like, you know, an egg and this and that. But you know what? It is so simple. But you see, it's revealed now. And I could speak about it to people. It might seem complicated to them. But I'm speaking from an unveiled word and from seeing beyond the veil and through the door that was open in heaven to me. I use this as an example. I can remember as a child riding around an airplane with my dad. He'd pick up that radio and thus, thus, and thus, and he'd say this and that under there. And I'd go, wonder what that means. And a reply would come back. Wonder what that meant. You know, squawk 1259, fly vector 15, maintain altitude of 30, and da, da, da. And you think, well, what does all that mean? But you see, when you become into a mind of a pilot, there wasn't nothing complicated about that. You know, this, you launch the instruments, they line up, they go to the altitude they said, and you dial the frequency over to what the man told you, and everything's fine. You see, because you were in that mind. But when you get into the mind of Christ, the things of Christ are not complex. They're not complicated. It's simple. But you see, when we grow in the grace and knowledge of God, again, as we say, the natural things, understanding the things of the Spirit. You know, if you're in fourth grade, you're the A-plus student, the teacher's pet, man, the child of the year. Fourth grade, got A-pluses. You know, and you're thinking, man, you know, I'm learning this mathematics. I thought 4 plus 4, you know, was 8, but now I found that 4 times 4 is 16. Then you get off over into calculus, and all of a sudden they got 4 times the power of this and that. And you know, I never did. I'm not too good at all that stuff now. But, you know, you're finding like, well, how do you multiply an A, you know, and how do you take 4 times an A and make a B out of it and come up with some kind of a thing? You see, it's another mind. It's not complicated when you get in the mind of a mathematician. You know, it's not a complex or complicated thing. And the things that I'm speaking about, when you apply yourself to the things of the Spirit and start discerning spiritual things, I would find myself meditating on the things of God, driving in a car, and I'd be differentiating things and looking at him in different dimensions and how they would be. What is the difference between the first man Adam and the second man Adam? You know, what is the difference between the first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven? What is the difference between body, soul, and spirit? And I've taught you these things. We've gone over all of them numerous times. You know, well, there's no difference between the soul and spirit. Well, that's foolish. Wouldn't have been in the Bible if there wasn't a difference. And when you look into the soul realm many times, you say natural, physical, spiritual. Well, there's no difference between physical and natural. Well, there surely is. Why do we have those kind of terms? There's a difference between a natural, physical, and spiritual, or body, soul, spirit, or Father, Word, Holy Ghost, or water, blood, spirit. There's a difference in the translation dimension, the transformation dimension, and the transfiguration dimension. Those are biblical terms. Brothers and sisters, and there's all kinds of allegories to show every one of them. We use them, we talk about them, we speak about them. They're spoke about here in Corinthians 11th chapter. But people take it to the letter of the law, and they think that I'm teaching, you know, and pounding women over the head here to grow their hair out, or pounding women to wear their long dresses, and this and I preach the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, women, if you want to line up through obedience and submit unto the Lord, this is what our expectations are of you. And many times the woman would be recognized in rebellion when they cut their hair off. They're recognized in rebellion when they paint themselves up, because they're allegories to the things and what they mean. A man wears long hair, it's an allegory. You know, it shows shame, and he brings shame to himself. Let's talk about the nature again, if even nature shows it. So let's talk about nature today in our day and hour. Tell me, who wears long hair as a man? Tell me. Can somebody tell me who wears long hair? Hippies. What are they? They rebelled against society. Now, maybe I'm going back to the 60s or the 70s when I used the term hippies. But let me tell you something. You find a man, now we're going to get into what you would say, stereotyping, oh, you can't do that, this, that. Now, you remember what we said about allegories. Allegories, brothers and sisters, do show things. The black community, allegorically speaking, is wretched and filthy. Now you say you're a racist. Well, I'm saying I got black brothers that I love. Now, we went into this on Sunday. I got dear black brethren and sisters that, I mean, are the most wonderful people that are full of the Holy Ghost. I couldn't even stand next to the things that they've done in the mind of God. Wonderful people. But they're still an allegory. They're still an allegory to the communities in the black neighborhoods. You could say I'm a racist fan. I'm just speaking factual. In the black neighborhoods, there's more corruption. There's more children outside of wedlock. There's more thief and all that. You know, you get mad at me if you want. I'm just telling you. I'm just speaking, allegorically speaking and factually speaking, there's more of those problems there. But I can't tell you that just because a person's black, they're wretched and no good. I would never say that. I could be speaking against God's elect. And boy, I'd bring judgments of God on my head. But I could say that. Now we're going to turn that statement over to long hair. I can say as a rule, when you see a man with long hair, you're going to be looking at a wretched man. And you say, well, I just don't know if I could do that. You're going to find a dope smoking, drinking, partying individual. And you say, well, I'll prove you wrong. Well, there's a guy with long hair that's right down the corner. He wouldn't touch a marijuana. He wouldn't touch a cigarette. He wouldn't touch a beer. He's a health nut. He don't eat meat. What does the Bible say about them that don't eat meat? It said they abstain from eating meat and from marriage. So you get off into another move. But I'm speaking allegorically speaking, brothers and sisters. I'm trying to get you to think different in your mind. But so many times your mind will try, well, I know one this way. I'm not talking about one. If I see the black community's wretched, you say, oh man, you can't speak like that. I'm just telling you, brother. So there's wonderful black people that are full of the Holy Ghost. But I'm talking about looking at it as a overall worldly perspective. Corruption, witchcraft came out of there. It defiled America. But it's an allegory. So I'm using the same thing as nature showing itself. What is long hair? It's a shame. But see, nowadays it's accepted in our society, isn't it? When I was a kid, you couldn't wear long hair in school. I don't know if I told you this. I may have, but it was a young man named Danny Montalvo. And he went to the same school I went to in Madera, California. And he was an Indian. The ALCU sent their attorneys there. And they paid for everything. And right there in my school, in the town that I went to, is where the laws were changed in the state of California that they couldn't make a boy cut his hair because he said that he was an Indian and they took his right away from his thing. So then at that point, everybody could grow long hair. So the thing, but I'm saying, when I was in school, you couldn't do it. If you wore a shirt without a collar, they carried a little paper thing, they put it on your thing. Why? Why did they think that there was something to do with decency there? When I was a kid, you couldn't wear short pants to school. Have you been driving by the school bus things lately? I'm talking about December days, man, snow on the ground. You see kids standing there in short pants. You couldn't wear short pants to school. I wasn't allowed. Why is the things changed? Brother Randall and I was both in Assembly of God Church. Do you realize that the convictions that the Assembly of God Church had 25 years ago are non-existence today? When I became a member of an Assembly of God Church, I had to sign a paper. I could not watch TV in my home. I had to sign a paper. I would have no alcohol in my home. I had to sign a paper that I'd have no tobacco in my home. I had to sign a paper. I'd have no cards in my home. I had to sign a paper. I would not be seen in a movie theater to being a member of the Assembly of God Church. Where's them days at? When we're shutting Assembly of God churches down to watch the football games or have the big screen TVs and the thing to shut the church down early on Sunday. You guys hurry up and get out of here where we can do it. You see what I'm saying? There's a change, brothers and sisters. And sometimes the change is so slow and things of the changes that's going on, and we just submit right to it and think, well, you know, praise God. There's a change of the music in the churches. Why would it have been so offensive for rock and roll to be in the church to the elders 25 or 30 years ago? And then why is it now that the people are flocking to rock and roll concerts called Christian concerts? And they're wiggling and dancing and moving, and I'm telling you. The country western music. I mean, before, you know, I mean, it's always been a slop hole. You know, there's no decency. Brother Pike said when he made it all the way to the Grand Ole Opry, he's seen the most wretched bunch of people there. And he thought, you know, hey, it was a great thing. But look at the country western music day. I mean, to tell you, these guys are putting to shame the 70 rock and rollers, man. I mean, I was a heathen in the 70s, man. I went to rock and roll concerts, man. And I mean, they'd hit them guitars and smoke and fire and everything. Man, that's what's going on in the country. What am I talking about? We're talking about allegories, brother. And we see Satan is climbed up into everything. He's climbed up into the government. He's climbed up into the churches. He's climbed up in the school systems. He's climbed up everywhere. And what we have to do is we got to recognize that. And there's a state of teaching going out there through, you know, oh, you can't judge. Yeah, they don't want you to judge you. The preachers will teach that because they don't want judgment to come to them because they're money-hungry, greedy dogs. Oh, you don't speak against God's elect. I'm not. I'm speaking against hirelings. That's what the Bible says is going to happen in the end times. So they teach those things. They don't want you judging them. And well, you better start judging them, for you can remain spiritual and know that when you perceive there's no understanding in a man, that you could depart. But if you can't judge them, how would you know to depart? This is things that we've got to do and understand and know. So again, if we would judge things naturally speaking, you remember the brother that came to me? I'm saying brother, might have been a false brother. And he said, Brother Rob, he said, I don't understand it. He goes, man, I'm out here in town and working or doing this and that. And people come up to me and always ask me, hey, where can I buy some dope? Hey, you know where I can get some crank or some snort or some coke or whatever? And I said, you know, it's funny. Nobody never comes and asks me that. Why did they come ask him that? Because he looked like a dope. He had long hair, had a little earring in his ear. You know, I mean, if I was wanting to score some dope, he'd probably be the guy I'd go and look at, man. You know what I'm saying? But then yet you can find a guy in his little three-piece suit, maybe carrying his little King James Bible, and you might hit him up and he might sell you a little snort too. So you see, we can't take this to a law. If you're going to go into a contingent sake or whatever, wise, I got no such custom. And you know, you could say, well, you know, you're saying that everybody with long hair is wretched, no good. I did not say that. If you perceive that, I said, you've missed it. But I said, if you would stand back and make a judgment over most of the people that wear long hair, you're going to find immorality. You're going to find drinking. You're going to find partying. You're going to find dancing and all the foolishness, because that's what goes along. It's the image. You find a woman in her short dress and her high boots standing out on the street corner, I'm going to tell you, hey, most time you found you a harlot. Oh, you can't say that. Well, I'm just saying most of the time I think I'm pretty accurate in what I'm telling you. That's what you're going to find. You know, what's the old worldly saying? Looks like it, smells like it, whatever. It's pretty much got it down. You know, so we have to be careful in the things I said. You see, this is why I'm trying to speak to you is on the spirituals. If you would think you're white and you're any better than a black man, you are nothing but the devil yourself. And you're the one that's black. You're the one that's in darkness. Bless God, I'm sure glad God didn't make me black. You know, I'll tell you what, there's some people that project light. And their black brother or sister that I'm telling you that are wonderful, beautiful people in the God and the things of God. So if you could take what I said and make it towards a people, but you need to understand allegories at the same time, at the very same time. So when you start differentiating dimensions, you're all black. You're all in darkness. You were born into darkness, the children of darkness. And when you're born again, you're the children of light, the children of resurrection. So see, when we start differentiating, and if I think because of the way I preach it, praise God, I'm the man, I'm sure glad I wasn't born a woman, them old weak things. But then yet, when you get into the revelation, you bring another dimension and you're the woman. So how do I bypass any of the things that I'm saying? Because I found myself in my first birth as a black man. I found myself in that first birth as the woman. I've got to come through subjection and submit, and I would have no inheritances in the natural dimension of the Old Testament. I would have no inheritance unless I bring forth a child. That's the inheritance. That's the heir. So you see, I'm not bypassing anything I'm saying. I can't teach something because I'm a white man, and I can't teach something because I'm a man. I got to teach it by the Spirit of God and differentiate it and understand it. So when we get into these things, brothers and sisters, there are things that we could look into in the natural realms, and we could see what's going on in the spirit, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if you watch what's in a man's spirit, it'll manifest. A man could come around, he could be religious, he could think he's got everything hid, but it's going to come forth. And it'll be exposed. The Bible said what you do in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. And it'll be exposed and it'll come around and it'll come about. So let's serve the Lord. Amen. I hope I helped a little bit with the question. That whole part of Corinthians there all the way over to 16. And we didn't read on past that. It was speaking in two different dimensions. And if we would take and apply the glory of God to the woman's hair without understanding the power of the angels, then we would be natural. And we would be all messed up. We'd be ritualistic just like the Jews. You see, let me say this to help explain that also. If we would go to the house of Cornelius, and this is where the Holy Ghost was given unto what we would say the Gentiles. And the thing is they said, would God forbid these water baptism because, would God forbid this because we found that the Spirit of God is came and they've been filled with God's Spirit. So why could anybody forbid them? You see, a Jew taking and bringing in an action of such like that would almost be blasphemous because they were numbered as unclean. But if you remember when Peter was on the housetop there, that the sheet came down. Let me differentiate this a little bit. When the sheet came down and Peter said, and he was in a trance, and he said, man, I've never put no unclean thing in my mouth. You'd realize that back at that particular time, if a Jew would eat pork, I mean to tell you, I mean, that would be a wretched, wretched, sinful act. They couldn't do that. Well, these things that came down in that sheet were recognized as unclean things. And the Lord told partake, and he said, man, I've never had no unclean thing in my life. And the Lord rebuked him. He said, don't you call the things that I've cleaned unclean or common. There was a revelation in that. So here we are today and say, well, praise God. Man, I see the revelation in that. Let me shove an old hog down my throat. Let me suck down another piece of bacon. Let me, man, eat all this stuff. It doesn't change the fact that the laws of God are right. You're going to bring harm to yourself eating those things. Oh, but Brother Rob, I done as the Bible said. I prayed for it, and they were sanctified by prayer. Let me tell you, there's some truth in this. If I tell you that if you stay away from pork and you stay away from this and you don't eat the bottom fish and you don't do this, man, praise God, you've made it into the revelation of God. You boy, you're a good Christian. Now, the thing is, I can't teach that. I have no such custom as that, okay? But on the other hand, he was using those things that was unclean to those people at that time to show a revelation that, hey, you all numbered these Gentiles as unclean people, and I've cleaned them and I've washed them with my blood, and don't you call unclean what I've cleaned. Amen. That was the revelation of what was being said there, and it was being shown forth by that. But we don't wipe out the first dimension away. Now the thing is, we still should use wisdom of what we eat, but then yet if you have some kind of a rigid diet and you make it a custom or a religion and you say, well, if I don't do this or I don't do that, you know, then I'm gonna find myself in hell. No, that's wrong. This is where the Catholic Church is in error, because they've taken and made many of these customs and many of the things, and they turned it into religious practice without spirit leading, and they've turned it into doctrines of devils, according to 1 Timothy 4. So there again, we're finding the same thing. We could take that, the scriptures there of the house of Cornelius in the book of Acts, we could take that very thing showing what we're reading about over here in Corinthians. It's the same thing. We're reading about something and we don't do away with the first to make second. And this is what happens in many times in churches. They get some kind of a spiritual revelation and then they do away with the second dimension or the first dimension. I'll give you an example. And he came and he said, you know what, man, I come to a revelation. He said, there was never no Adam and Eve. He said, this was just a story that Moses, when he went over and he wrote all this stuff, was to show a revelation that he's seen in the Spirit. And we know who Moses is. And we know that what Moses was to the people. And he says this was just a revelation that Moses had. And he put it down this way. But the Adam and Eve had to do with us. You know that there's the Adam, you know, is showing the Christ within the first man. Or we say the second man. And then we say that the Eve is the outer garment of iniquity, the body. He was 100% right. But where he was wrong, he had a revelation and a truth, but where he was wrong is he destroyed another dimension. You see, because I could say that I'm a spiritual Jew, I could say, man, the natural Jew's nothing. Man, a man born over there in Israel, he's not God's elect, I'm God's elect. Man, I would be wrong to say that. It makes me fear before the Lord to even think that way. I am the spiritual elect of God. I am the true Jew in God. But that doesn't do away with the fact that the natural Jew's God's elect, and they will fulfill a natural dimension to fulfill the natural promises on a natural earth. And they will walk on this natural earth with God setting up rule and reign here. And it will come that way, the way they were looking for it when he came, when he said, my kingdom's not of this world, and the weapons of my warfare are not natural or carnal. You see, he was dealing with a spiritual bride or Jew then, but then yet when he went over to this other dimension, to the natural, when he comes back, the sword is going to come forth, and it's sharpened to it, and the blood's going to go to the horse's bridle, and he's going to do it the way they were looking for him back then. You see, it has to do with Rachel and Leah. That's exactly what it has to do with, and we have to do with Benjamin in the perspective of coming forth. And the thing is that we'll go back to Leah. When Rachel brought forth Benjamin, she died, and it went back to Leah. And we bring forth the Christ in the earth, the manifestation of the sons of God, Benjamin. And we bring that forth, it'll go back to Leah, brothers and sisters. And you see, what part died? You did. The bride part isn't the one that's going into the third heaven. It's the heir to the throne. It's the Son of God caught up. That's what it is. And this is the way we differentiate the dimensions, and you'll see exactly what's happening and what's going on. So, Hope said some things to make you start thinking differently. Because sometimes we'll get into the letter of the law. We get into contentions and strives about hair, about these things. But you see, when you're in the Spirit, you fulfill. Remember the message the other day? Body, soul, spirit. You remember what it said? It said, holy, presenting your body, soul, and spirit. Why did the Bible say wholly committing, wholly presenting? Why didn't you say, hey, you know, praise God, we were washed by the blood of Jesus. You know, we just got to present our spirit. Hallelujah, it's cleansed. He said, present your body, your soul, and your spirit. That means holiness is in the body, holiness is in the soul, and holiness is in the spirit. We cannot, you know, think that, man, praise God, I've got holiness in the spirit, and if it don't come forth in the body, because the body's manifesting, it's the screen of what's going on in your spirit. You say, hey, Brother Rob, I want to take you and watch a movie. It's a good movie. It's clean. It's virtuous. And we get there and I see filth. And I'm looking at the screen and I see nothing but filth. I say, wait a minute, man. I'm not going, oh, no, Rob, it's good, man. It's good. It's virtuous. It's clean. And I look again. I said, man, that's not clean, brother. That's filth, man. I'm not going to sit in front of that. So when you come and stand before me and you say, man, praise God, I'm a son of God. Praise God, man. I've been born again. I said the sinner's prayer. I spoke in tongues of Satan. I'm looking at the movie. The Bible said you're written epistles read known all men. And you know, your book's pretty easy to read. You know, Christ doesn't cheat. Christ doesn't steal. You understand that? Christ is not a liar. Christ is not a thief. Christ is not a whoremonger. Christ is not those things. And when you become one with him, you are him, walking, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. So either you are of your master, Jesus Christ, or your father's the devil. I mean, that's not too hard, too complicated, is it? It's kind of cut and dry, isn't it? Amen. So the thing is, brothers and sisters, don't take the grace of God to lasciviousness. Don't take it, the grace, to the occasion. The Bible says to the flesh. We don't take it to the flesh. We don't say, oh, God is love and mercy, and we take it to the flesh. We take it to the spirit, and we perfect and walk in perfection, pressing our way into the kingdom of God, mortifying the things of this natural man, killing him out, making him come under subjection. Remember your first birth. Bring it into the second dimension through coming through the door open in the second heaven, coming from Egypt, going out into the thing. Start eating of the manna that's there in the wilderness. As you come out of Egypt, start eating of that manna. And when you eat of that manna, it'll strengthen you to make it on into Canaan land. And when you cross the Jordan of the intellectual mind and you enter into the kingdom of God, you'll be fellowshipping with Christ. Amen. And you'll put all of those things behind you. Amen. Come out of the world and be a separate people. We are peculiar people, brothers and sisters. We're not like the people of this world. That's the problem with religion. They're bringing the world in and saying, hey, you know, we got the music, man. We've got everything y'all got, you know. There's churches with bowling alleys in them. You know, come on, God forbid. You know, oh, but we got to have these things for the youth to bring them in. You ain't going to bring them in that way. They're the ones that's going to bring them in that way. Bring them into the world. We got to be peculiar. We got to be separate. We got to be set apart. And that's what we're offering. Salvation is coming out. Salvation is coming out of the world. Salvation is not in the world, out of the world. We're not of this world. We're peculiar. Amen. Let's stand together. I love y'all and appreciate you. A lot of things that have to be spiritually discerned. I hope it said something to challenge you in the way you think and what you're looking. Remember to continue to pray for little baby Sophia. Pray for our efforts and our endeavors in the Lord. Amen. There's the scripture in this word that says if we just continue to stay in the milk of the word, that we'll open ourselves up for all these. I can only paraphrase it a little bit. I'd have to go and find it for you, but it talks about that we'll open ourselves up for all these unclean things and stuff. You see, but we have to go to the meat. We have to desire the meat of the word. And there's nothing wrong with the milk of the word, but when you grow up to be a man, then you desire meat, and you're looking for something to get your teeth into. Amen. Y'all love the Lord tonight. Let's sing a song or two and close the service.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.